It's time for the Canadian Baseball Network Podcast with your host, Dustin Saraceni.
Welcome back to the CBN Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and today we have a Canadian baseball legend in our midst as our co-host. If there's a conversation about Canada's international success when it comes to baseball, Stubby Clapp will always be a name that's mentioned, and he joins us now. Stubby, first, I want to rewind all the way back to 1999. You're at the plate with the game on the line against the USA in the Pan Am Games. Tell me, what do you remember from that at-bat, and what was it like to beat the U.S. at their own game for the first time, in front of a Canadian crowd, for that matter, in Winnipeg?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, going through the at-bat, you understand the situation as being the hitter, and you're just looking for a good pitch to put the barrel on, and, you know, obviously, we know what the result was. To me, it was a line drive in the book. It was a game winner. So it fell in, and that's what counted, and we got a win out of it. So that's what mattered. But, you know, any kind of circumstances in that, you know, whenever Canada plays the USA, the stakes are high, the intensity is high. You know, the love-loss relationship is just, it's outstanding. It's so much fun. And, you know, that was the beginning of a good era for Baseball Canada and that relationship versus USA.
Now, for anyone who hasn't seen this hit, I highly recommend you hop on YouTube. Stubby Clapp, 1999, Pan Ams versus the U.S. It may not have been a line drive, but it certainly sealed the fate in that game. Stubby, does anyone kind of joke around with you about that infamous hit that was lost in the sun?
Oh, yeah, we always joke around. We joke around with some of the guys that have been through there, you know, that were on that team and or that were on the U.S. team when it happened. Brad Penny and I were joking about it a couple weeks ago. He had brought it up, and I didn't even realize that Brad was on the team at that time. And we got to talking up in the bullpen area or whatever, and he had mentioned it, and I just started laughing. I said, well, I said, last time I checked, that thing hit the wall, didn't it? he just kind of chuckled and laughed, and, you know, of course, we went on to win that game, but they're the ones that went on to the Olympics that year. So that was the whole importance of that Pan Am Games.
Hey, a hit's a hit. You'll take them any way you can get them, right?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, it's hard enough to square up a baseball. It doesn't matter where it lands, as long as it lands and it counts for points.
All right, now fast forwarding to 2006, when Team Canada put on another great performance. This time in the World Baseball Classic. You were playing with the Edmonton Cracker Jacks at the time. What was it like to go to the park each day with guys like Matt Stairs, Jason Bay, Corey Koski, Justin Morneau? I mean, the list goes on, and obviously being coached by Ernie Witt and Larry Walker.
Oh, it was good. It was a lot of fun. I mean, they're great guys. They're very very humble, down to earth, and they're, you know, they're easy to get along with and play with. And you know, it's when you go to the field and you get a group of guys like that that just want to win and are willing to put aside egos and past accomplishments and stuff like that to be able to just put a win together for your country. I mean, it's stuff you dream about, and that's the way every one of those guys are. It's not about what they've done in the past or how much money they've made. It's about representing our country and doing it at that time and that moment.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling, putting on that jersey, going to war with guys like Matt Stairs and obviously guys like Larry Walker. Certainly both will be going down in Canadian baseball history, much like yourself. But at the time, was the victory against the United States, beating someone like Dontrell Willis in his prime, the biggest win in Canadian baseball history?
Obviously, that adds some you know, some intensity to the whole thing. When you're getting ready to face Dontrell Willis in his prime, it's like, all right, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to beat this guy? And, you know, Larry Walker had some good insight to some stuff, and, you know, he was able to give us some ideas on how to face him. And I tell you what, it makes it special when you get to beat it, you know, a top five guy.
Yeah, and that inside the park home run was something too, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Sterny put it in the right spot and kicked out, and he was off to the races.
All right, now I want to talk about the most recent success for Team Canada. It seems as though you are around or in the conversation whenever the national team has success at the international level. But last year, one of my favorite stories was in the semifinals against Puerto Rico at the Pan Am Games. Their flag was placed in front of the mound before you came out of the dugout, snapped it, and put it in your back pocket. What was kind of your mentality going into doing something like that?
You know what? Obviously, it was spur of the moment. You know, it was obviously nothing planned. And I walked back to the dugout and someone had pointed it out and was going to send a bat boy out there. And at that time, I just like, no, you know what? I got this. This is our country. This is our property. And nobody's sticking a flag other than a Canadian flag on our land. So it was spur of the moment. It was impulsive, and it turned out the way it did. And thank God we won that game after something like that. You know, you don't want to go down losing. so it brought a lot of intensity back into the game. It kind of the old saying, you don't want to kick an old dog while it's sleeping, but that's what they did and woke us up, and it was game on from the first inning.
And of course, you guys, as you mentioned, went on to beat Puerto Rico before facing the United States in the gold medal game. In 2011, you got the best of them, and so did your team in 2015. Could you talk about the interesting extra inning rules for the Pan Ams and what was going through your mind as veteran Pete Orr crossed the plate for the game-winning run?
Oh, shoot fire. You know, the whole extra innings rule is, it's actually a really good rule, you know, because in the international baseball, there's always pitch counts and stuff like that, limitations, and you're always trying to protect players for their organizations and stuff like that. So I played international ball when there wasn't the international rule, when you can put the runners on in the extra innings, and it can get long and arduous, and it can tax the staff real quick, and it could put a team or a country in trouble as far as pitching. So I think it's a good rule. It's an exciting rule. You just, you know, obviously when you lose, it's not fun, because we were on that end in Beijing, I think four times. We lost due to the international rule and stuff like that. But in that situation, you know, the U.S. goes up two runs in the top of the 10th, and it's like, all right, here we go. What do we got now? see what we got. We got our backs against the wall in our hometown and in our home country, and let's see what we had. And, you know, good Lord willing, the right things happened at the right times, and, you know, and Pete Orr coming across the plate, knocking the ball out of the catcher's glove for the gold medal. You couldn't write it up any better. Not only to the team, but to as an individual, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. I mean, that guy gives his life and in his background to Team Canada. He's been through the thick and thin, and he's come up with Team Canada, and he exudes pride and you know, just the utmost respect for the game. And for him to be able to get that honor and that accomplishment and being able to bring us home the gold medal like he did was special, not only for the country, but for him as an individual.
Yeah, seeing that picture of Pete Orr crossing the plate with his hands up always gives me goosebumps. Just growing up watching guys like you and obviously Pete Orr, it was just something to remember. I mean, that picture taken just seconds before he gets absolutely obliterated by his teammates. And it's just something that's always going to be remembered by Canadian baseball fans. And obviously, being the third base coach, that had to be a fun perspective, seeing something like that for yourself.
I'm glad he just didn't get hurt.
Honestly. Exactly. But of course, I mentioned how you played under Ernie Witt and Larry Walker in 99 and 2006, among other times. But in the late 2000s, you transitioned from player to coach and had an opportunity to teach with them. What was that transition from player to coach like for you?
In the beginning, it was okay. I did it because it paid the bills, and it was fun. I enjoyed the work and stuff like that. As I got through the first couple of years of coaching, you know, I decided, you know what, this is me. This is what I love. What I love to do is what I'm going to do, and it was time to get better at it. You know, it wasn't just time to go and have fun at the field and teach it. It was time to, you know, look in the mirror and say, all right, you know, it's time to get better at coaching. It's time to find new ways. It's time to have an open mind and try and help these kids and players in any way, whether it's off the field, on the field, strategy on the field, or, you know, organizing in a day so that they know how to be prepared every day. So, I mean, the transition part was, you know, it wasn't just all hunky-dory, but I loved it. I loved the sport. I loved being with the guys. I loved talking the game. I loved being a part of somebody else's career and success, just to help them you know, be better than what I was at a younger age, to give them more opportunity to be a big leaguer longer than I did, than I got to be a big leaguer. That's my sole goal as a coach now, and that's what it started out as. But now I just, now that I am 10 years into coaching, I take it really serious when it comes to making and helping produce a professional athlete and give them every piece of information that I possibly can to give them an opportunity better than what I provided for myself.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing the development in your players over the course of the season or even a course of a week is always rewarding, right?
Yeah, when you get the little things. When you see them get the little things that you're talking about, you know, the detailed parts of the game, and they actually start to apply it in mid-game, and you're like, yes, he gets it. He's getting the idea. Yeah. He's understanding how to apply the information. Now, that's the reward.
And Stubby, with all the success Canadian baseball has had over the years, what does this mean, and what does this do for the culture of the game here? The game is certainly growing over north of the border.
Yeah, I hope the game grows by leaps and bounds. I mean, it's a beautiful game. I mean, I can sit here and I can honestly tell you that I would have never experienced probably more than three quarters of my life if it wasn't for the game of baseball. I mean, it's given me everything. It's given me a way to provide for my family. It's given me memories that last forever. It's given me friendships that will never go away simply because of the game of baseball. And if it wasn't for Baseball Canada itself giving me the opportunity to play for the junior national team in 91 and then again starting with the senior team in 94 and 99, if I would have never had those opportunities, I can't tell you that I'd be sitting here talking to you right now. And so with the way everything's going on in Canada, I just hope that this game grows and these kids learn to love the game for the right reasons, and they get to experience everything that any other big leaguer through Canada has.
And one of those memories has to be your 23-game stint with the St. Louis Cardinals in 2001. What was going through your mind when you initially got the call? Being Canadian from Windsor, it must have been an outstanding experience for you.
Man, it was unbelievable. You know, when I actually got called in the office after it hit me, I went to my locker and I cried. For me, it was like all the sacrifice of the hard work and the dedication to the game, the sport, and to working hard to prove people wrong and stuff like that. All that sacrifice had finally paid off, you know. And then being able to call my father and my mother and being able to tell them that all their sacrifice and hard work for me going to college and stuff like that, and them helping me out along the way, you know, it was going to pay off, that it didn't go to waste. And for me, being able to give them something out of it, you know, that was just as much as actually me actually getting to be there. So, you know, there's a lot of pride there when I think about my mom and dad and what they did and gave to me.
All right, Stubby, after all this success, whether it's in the MLB or everything you've done for Canadian baseball, what's a day in the life like for Stubby Clapp nowadays, being a hitting coach in New Hampshire?
Well, right now in spring training, I'm up about 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
you know, breakfast at 6, in the cage by 7, usually in the cage from 7 to 9, trying to get hitters ready, working on stuff, working on a mental approach or physical mechanics, or, you know, and or trying to, you know, get them to hone in on the strike zone, on what they're strong at in the strike zone and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you go through the daily work from, you know, working on base running or working on outfielding, infielding, you know, and helping these kids try to hone their game for the first couple hours of the day all the way to lunch. They get a break, and then you get a break from, 12 to 1. Then they strap it on at 1 o'clock. And they play a game, and you hope that the information that you give them, that they're able to absorb it and apply it and become better players by being able to take that information. You know, and there's a lot of different stuff, you know, from video work to, just personal conversations with guys. It's not always about baseball. It's about life. It's about what's going on at home or off the field or just stuff that could affect their progress. It doesn't have to be baseball, you know, it could be anything, and take a lot of pride in that stuff and being able to help through experiences and or, you know, other people's experiences and guide these guys, because it's not easy, you know, going through the minor leagues. A lot of guys get weeded out because they can't handle the minor league system and the way it's run and the way that they have to live and do on their own and stuff like that. So there's a lot more to coaching than just being able to teach a guy to hit a baseball, throw a baseball.
And how about your family? Are your kids following in dad's footsteps at all?
They play. They both play. Both boys play. My daughter hasn't started to play. I'm trying to get her to steer towards golf.
Okay, there you go.
But both boys play. They have fun right now. The oldest one, he's 12. He's, you know, he plays on a very highly competitive team. They're all over the country. My wife is... she's a saint. She shuttles them around the country and make sure they're at the tournaments on time. And my youngest one, he's starting to play real good competitive baseball right now. So if they do, that's great. If they don't, they know that they don't have to play because dad did. They know that when they go to the park, number one rule is to have fun. And then number two is, you know, they come home and they're able to enjoy what they did and then go from there. That's the only thing that I care about. And that's how I learned how to love the game.
Exactly, yeah. And before I let you go, I have to ask, where did the nickname Stubby come from?
Third generation for me, named after my grandfather.
Okay.
Obviously, he was short and stocky, and you know, he had some things back in the day, and he got nicknamed Stubby, you know. And when I was born, that's all I was ever called, Stubby. And for me, being named after my grandfather and my father, I looked up my father. I still look up to my father. He's a huge role model in my life. And for me to be called Stubby is special for me. It's not just a name. It means a lot to be named after those two gentlemen. And my oldest one is named Stubby. He's the first one to get it put on his birth certificate officially, because I had trouble cashing paychecks when I first turned pro. A lot of people didn't, because I didn't have ID that actually had said Stubby, so
yeah.
I made sure that he could have ID with it on. So it's not only just a name; there's a lot of personal pride in the gentleman that I'm named after. That's special for me.
Words from the Canadian baseball legend Stubby Clapp. Stubby, again, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Duffer.
That was your second edition of your Canadian baseball podcast. Thanks for stopping by, and thanks for listening.